All right, we are here. We are Galexus, and welcome. Welcome to part 4 of the Magical Money Manifestation series. And today we're going to talk about building and sustaining the consciousness of abundance in your life. Now, we've already talked to you about your relationship with money. We've talked to you about building your channel, so we hope you have a good channel, or, you know, all juicy and ready to go to work on some more today. And we've also talked to you about your momentum, creating momentum, beginning to lift your bottom line, beginning to work with the energies of the flow, and your purpose, and orienting yourself to your purpose so that your mindset for money is correct and not distracted by other factors that would tend to block you and limit you. So with that, however, we're also going to focus today more on the momentum, more on lifting that bottom line. As we mentioned before, the bottom line is that line underneath that financial bottom line. For some people, the bottom line is homelessness, but most people, you make it one way or another. It can be even tough if you're at the bottom, but you can do it somehow or another. The bills get paid, or good enough, or whatever, you survive. So that bottom line, wherever it is for you, whether it's there or whether you have more abundance and prosperity beyond just the survival level, it's time to move that up. And so that's what we're going to work with today. And that's the first part that we're going to work with. And then about how to work with the waves, how to work with the building of the flow. All right. Now, we've talked to you many times about your self-image, and that the frequency, the resonance of your self-image is essentially what determines the level of success that you're going to have in any endeavor. The resonance, which is your state of being, and the dynamic, which is the flow and the activation of the energies, have to work together. So, and that's true with abundance consciousness. Abundance consciousness is a state of being, but it's also a dynamic process. So what we're going to give you here is the steps, or the pieces together create the state of abundance consciousness, and also the energies that you use, the steps that you use, the focuses that you use in order to activate and leverage and move the energies through your channel to you to gain greater wealth. So first of all, it's a state in which you are creating your resonance, your frequencies, your resonance. Now, you can create a good mind state. Most manifestation workshops all talk about, you know, mind state. You got to get into the right head state. And it's a frequency. The head state is a frequency. It's not really good mind talk. It's not just good attitude. It's a resonance. And that resonance is of you dreaming you expanding you, okay? Your image of yourself, your vision of yourself. Your path is to become divine and to know it. You are already divine, but you cannot become divine in the way of acting from that level of divinity until you can claim it and acknowledge it, known it. And so this step one is pivotally important, because here's where you dream your channel. Here's where you decide what goal you wish to move towards. Here's where you decide the function of that dream, wealth opportunity, what you're going to get out of it, what you're going to feel, the state you're going to feel there. This is where you set your intention. This is where you align yourself to the magic, to begin, to get going on a wave, to initiate not just the state, but to initiate the dynamic. That's step one. Step two is where, once you get the idea where you want to go, is to plan, to prepare, and then to take action. So that's kind of boots on the ground type of thing, step two. It's where you initiate, where you launch stuff, where you activate the magic, where you do the magic rituals, that's the meditations, the visualizations, but also where you engage in the physical plane, where you interact and interface with your physical reality. Number three is mind the gap. Because there's always a gap. There's a gap where you don't see the magic because it's out of sight. Magic does not happen right in front of your eyes. If it did, it wouldn't be magical. It wouldn't have that wonderful, deliciously unexplained quality that makes it so exciting. Miracles, you just don't see them happen. You can't analyze them. You can't just, to see how the universe right there in front of your face go chomp, and it translates stuff from the unconscious mind through the subconscious to the conscious to the physical plane. You don't see it. It happens out of sight. And so when magic is afoot, when you initiate the magic, there's a gap of time between the time that you initiate, make the request to your spiritual team, take the action, initiate the action, and you get the results. You get some response from your reality. You get the feedback, okay? There's a gap, all right? This gap seems to be a place where a lot of people just don't know how to cope. We're going to go into detail about it today. But to mind the gap is step three. Yeah, this is a place to stay aware, to keep your resonance up, to not lose heart. It doesn't mean the energy's gone. It's just out of sight. So number four is that's when you get the feedback. That's when you start getting the feedback from your reality. And that's where you see the reflections of yourself in your world. Oh, this whole reality is a reflection of you. It's all oriented specifically and precisely to you so that you can see by your interaction with it and your responses to it and your initiative to it and that engagement with your illusion, with your world, this temporary playground that you get in every lifetime, to that you can recognize that is feedback to you so that you know more about who you are, and then you can make choices from your enlightened, powerful place. About that feedback, it's important for you to get the feedback. It's important for you to listen, for you to see, to sense, to bring in through your senses what's going on. And so very often that step four is where there is something concrete that happens in response, or a very distinct energy shift of some sort, or you get a feedback there. Step five is where you take this feedback, you process it, you understand it, you see your impact, you get to understand any messages that may come from that, and then you can release anything in the past that you may realize is an obstacle, because when you get your feedback and when you receive your feedback, you can then see, oh, I wasn't lined up correctly for this. I did not figure that out correctly. Maybe you did, but you got to, in a sense, process anything that's in the way. Say, okay, well, in the future, I know to orient this way. The future, I will take care of that and be aware of that factor. So the processing of that feedback, it's very important. If it's a negative, you release. release your emotional sadness or clear whatever isn't working. Maybe there's a belief that's not working. Maybe there's a narrative that's not working. So the number five, step five, is processing. Step six is to integrate into your self-image what you have learned. And from that, then you can see, all right, here's where I am now. I've integrated this. I am more than I was when I began at the beginning of this cycle. I have gained more. I am more. I have more awareness now. I know more. And I am ready now at a higher vibration. I've let go of anything that's in the way. I am much more aware. I'm going to now, I'm going to get back in there. I'm going to move on up now. I'm going to get going, and we're going to redream this, reset this, get this show on the road. And so step seven basically is to go back to step one and repeat. So if this all happens in waves, but it also happens when you're at certain levels when you're at certain levels of abundance and prosperity, you utilize this to keep yourself in the flow, to keep yourself at that higher level of resonance. Okay, so we just wanted to say this about abundance consciousness, because this is the foundation. Now, you know this probably already. You've already processed. You already have forgiven yourself for making mistakes. You already have let go of old issues and things like that. But you know that when things actually happen, sometimes the old narrative shows up again. It's like the old problem, that old pattern reactivates itself. It gives you so much opportunity to spiral your way up. Now, when you go through this process, you create a cycle. And this cycle is circular. Okay? And every time you come back to the first point, you should be at generally are, at a higher point. So basically, this is a spiral. Okay. Now, when you spiral, the more frequently that you do this, go through this process, you can go through it in a meditation, you can go through it mentally, not necessarily the physical part of it, but you can go through it mentally every day. You can see your actions, you can see the feedback that you want, you can see what you want to gain from it, you can use your imagination in your dreaming and imagination for what it is that you want to experience. And you can kind of put some energy into these six steps every day in a visualization. We're going to be doing it, of course, in the meditation today. But you can do this every day. Now, you can do this once you get the hang of it. You can do it in a few minutes. Not that you can do it in depth in a few minutes, but it can be a frequency reminder. It can remind you, oh, back up, get up to the frequency, right? So what you do is that this is a cycle. When you activate it on the physical, it creates energy. It's like those old locomotives, you know, that the very, you know, getting the energy going, to get the wheel, first wheel around, and then after a while, there's a momentum. It's like when you turn on your car and you get started in first gear. And so it takes just a little bit for the car to accelerate and to move and get up to speed. Okay, you don't really want to get up to speed immediately. You might not be able to handle whatever, you know. If you got up to speed immediately, you might run into a wall or something. So you want to get this sense of movement forward. You want to be in first gear when you start this. So the more that you cycle, the more energy begins to happen. And these cycles create a wave. They create a wave. They start building energy up in movement. It starts to move. It starts to move things up. So, and the more that you do it, the more you can gain momentum. And after you gain a momentum for a certain amount of time, from everyone it varies, but it can be 2 or 3 weeks or a month. Once you kind of get that going on a really steady basis, you can get a wave going up. And it's like a bell curve, all right? So it's really kind of slow. It just doesn't have much oomph. But as you cycle, as you continuously to repeat it, the spiraling, it begins to pick up some speed, and it picks up speed, and you begin to move up the wave. And when it moves up, that's like exciting because it's moving towards your goal, which is up here. So you move the energy up that way. Now, after a while, the subconscious mind, which is a repetitive part of your mind, it repeats all sorts of patterns, it establishes patterns. It takes about 2 to 4 weeks to get a pattern going at the minimum. Okay? And that's an initial pattern. It's not enough to have a long-term momentum, but it's enough to get the movement really going. Okay. Now, if you continue it, once the subconscious will get it, it will start to do it itself. It will do it automatically. It will just keep repeating. It's like you don't have to remember how to brush your teeth. Your subconscious mind automatically, you put on the toothpaste on your brush or whatever you do, and you do it. Okay? So it will work that way with your reality as well. So once your subconscious gets it, this is the cycles you want to do, and this is the energy direction you want to go, the subconscious will join in. It takes a little while for it to get it, because at first it goes, huh, what? You haven't done this before. This particular cycle I'm not familiar with. Don't you want to keep doing the old pattern that you had? Don't you want to take a break? What? But after a while, you convince it. It's like hypnosis. You basically retrain your subconscious mind, and then it's with you. And it's like when the channel was back in her 20s, she was initiated by an Indian guru, and he gave her a mantra. A mantra is a series of words that hold a resonance, that hold a vibration, that you repeat. And if you can repeat them constantly, all day, in your mind, then it blocks out all sorts of negative thinking. It blocks out all sorts of destructive thinking, fears, and all sorts of things like that. And it holds the resonance of the spiritual power that is invested in those words, because the guru themselves has utilized those words and has imbued them with great power. And so the initiate gets to leverage on that power. Now, if you do it long enough, frequent enough, often enough, and this is what the channel experienced, is that after a while, she'll be going through her day and the mantra will just be continuously playing in her head over and over, and that will be what would be going on in her mind. It's very, very peaceful, very high resonance, right? Now, we don't suggest that you have to do that. It takes great concentration. It can be very effective if you put together a mantra that, for you, keeps you at a very high level. But this process can be, in a sense, just touching each step in your mind and lifting the frequency up another spiral can actually work in a similar fashion. And just keep that energy going. Just keep it showing up. Just keep your thoughts and your feelings will get more and more aligned, more and more lifted. So the repetition is very important. Now, after a while, once you get a momentum going with your subconscious, then it becomes big enough, then the message gets down into the unconscious mind, which is the collective. The collective unconscious is where the energies of your belief are translated into physical matter. Okay, so your materialization is always the precipitation or the crystallization of what you believe. What you believe can be true and what you believe is true. And when you expect it and know it, it will show up in a form. Maybe not precisely the way you imagine it, because the way it translates through from the collective to you in your own psyche will show up something specific for you. So you want it to get into the collective unconscious, because once you get into the collective, then this momentum will continue all the way up to wherever you want to go. You can keep this momentum going up, 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 up. Now, that said, we're going to look at the waves themselves, because they don't always appear to be going up, up, up. It's like if you were, doing a chart for a company and you're showing a presentation to the board, you want to show them that the company's profits have increased, you know, almost exponentially, and you want to have a line that goes from here all the way up to there. Okay, yes, see, it's going straight up there. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, you know. But, you know, your universe is not linear. You will never grow that way. You don't grow that way. You go up a ways, then you come down a little bit. Then you go up some more, then you come down a little bit, then you go up some more, and you come down a little bit, and so on. And that's the way it works. What happens is that most people kind of freak out because you come up and then you start going down. And they go, what? This can't be. This is not where I want. I want that straight line up. No, it doesn't happen that way. If you want that, you're wanting some mythical linear world that doesn't exist. But there's a purpose for this wave going down. If you didn't have it go back down, it wouldn't be a wave, would it? It would just be a line. And a line is two-dimensional. You want it three-dimensional. You want a three-dimensional reality. So you've got to have the wave. And so it'll come down. There's a purpose for that. And then you go up again, and then there's a purpose for that setback there, too. And it's not really a setback. It's just has its own purpose, and we're going to describe that right now. We want to describe these waves, what happens at every point in the wave, so that you can get into momentum and you can understand wherever you are, at whatever point in the wave that you are, and know what to do there and know what's happening, and so you can sustain the resonance, and you can sustain the dynamic even when it looks like the wave is coming down. And when that happens, when it comes, it doesn't have to come all the way back down. See, there's a myth. Some people think that, oh, before you can change something, before you can create something new, you have to destroy the old. No, no, no. You make a wave, and then you come back down a little bit, and then you can go up on another wave. So realize that once you get this, it will make your money situation easy. It will make your life easier. You'll be in the flow. There'll be a sense of just magic and momentum, always becoming more. And you, too, will be becoming more. So let's talk about this wave. As we said, if you're doing the cycles, if you're doing the repetition of your dreams, of your imaginations, your intentions, you're planning and acting and so on, and you're aware that there's going to be a delay between between the initiation and the manifestation, you're aware of all of that. So here comes the wave. You're doing your work. You're doing your work. Okay, stuff starts to pick up. Now, when it starts to pick up, as the action starts to happen, you may not see the action in your physical world the way you are wanting to see it, whatever materialization it is you're aiming for. But what you will often get is we've learned to call a whisper. It's a message. It's a hint that comes from your reality that you're on the right track. Now, it's like if you're looking to get this job, okay, let's say that that you want to get your business off the ground, so you get everything together and you get it coordinated and you get the action going and you're doing your marketing and you're promoting and you're selling and it's starting to go out, but you still haven't gotten sales, people are just beginning to learn about it. Somewhere in here, maybe you might have a whisper, and that whisper would be somebody that you know that really has a lot of people that they know in their network, an influencer kind of person, maybe not a big one, but say, oh yeah, let me share this with my friends. Okay. Now, you still don't have any profit, okay, but you have a whisper, you have a hint that this is something that can catch on. This is something that could that people might want to know about, that because your friend is like, oh yeah, this is cool. So you're getting good feedback, okay? Okay, so anyway, there can be hints, there can be openings, there can be opportunities, there can be just a certain message. Some people can get it by watching TV and they're, you know, they're working on it and the announcer says something like, yeah, it's really going to work out well. Oh, okay, I'll take that as a message. All right, so you can get messages along the way, but it starts to come up. Now, it starts to come up, the wave is coming up. You're still doing the repetitions now, okay? And by now, your subconscious is kind of getting in on it, and so it's a little easier to do, and you're still taking your actions and so on. This is minding the gap. As it comes up, there will be a place where there's no whispers, no hints, nothing. It just seems to be nothing. It's up to you to maintain that resonance. That's where you work like a mantra. You want to maintain the resonance. You want to do whatever it is, the process. You want to go through the process and say, okay, I want to just keep maintaining and remembering what I'm doing, and I want to imagine that I'm going to have good feedback, and I'm going to imagine myself being clear and reimagining the next step, and I want to imagine myself. I want to see myself going through this cycle. And so when you do this, when you hit the gap, most people get negative thoughts. Most people get fear. What if it's not coming? If I am not seeing it yet, maybe I'm not going to get it. Maybe have I done something wrong? You know, you need to kind of wait, give yourself a little space. Another one might be, maybe I haven't done enough. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough. And you'll start to push. Oh my gosh, it's not working as fast as it should. I should push. No, don't get your slave driver in there, okay? That reduces your energy. Fears reduce your energy. Slave driver, it'll shrink you. It'll basically, if you get caught in fear, it'll top you out. You don't want to top out there. You see, this whole quantum physics discovered that everything's going in waves until it's observed. As soon as the waves are observed, boom, they become particles. Now, particles are focused points of reality. That's where manifestation happens, is in the particles. So if you go up here and you get into fear and you start worrying, particles, you've lost the wave. So you have to keep the resonance going, okay? So here in the gap also, some people are like, well, you know, it should be happening by now. You know, I've done enough work. I've done enough effort. Damn it, it should come now. I'm getting angry now. It's not showing up. I've done all this work and it's not showing up. Well, when that happens, you know, you're an ego, first of all. It's like, I want to get credit for this, and I'm not really happy about doing the work for this. It's you're into earning. You think you have to earn it. No. You're basically creating a resonance. This is not earning anything. This is not a cause and effect, as we've talked to you before about. That's linear. Linear is I do this to cause this. If I do enough meditation, the effect will be this money. No, what you're doing is I'm going to go up to a higher frequency level and I'm going to attract and receive money through the channel of my choosing. Okay, so if you get into that little ego spot, you're particleizing it, you're stopping the flow, and you're also in entitlement. It's like, well, I've done enough work. I've done all my cause. The effect should be here. And you pout. Or you get angry. Or you get scared. Or you maybe judge yourself. Or you kick yourself around a bit. Don't go there. Remember, there is a gap in time. The gap is not in manifestation. The gap is not in energy. The gap is not in the wave. It's in time. And if you have time scarcity consciousness, which underlies all scarcity consciousness, because what is the most thing, limited thing in 3D? The greatest limitation you're working under is time. You get born, you live, you die. Die, that's the end of your time. And also it comes down to, you know, you have to pay the rent or the mortgage every month. That's time. If you don't have that money, oh my gosh, you know, you're crunched for time. There's deadlines. You're crunched for time. There's this whole time scarcity thing. So don't get into time scarcity in the gap. Because if you do, you particleize. Then it sabotages you. If you're in this gap and you sabotage yourself, it'll go back down. You'll have to start over. You have to get up to the top of the first wave before you can pull back some. And then there's a reason for that. We'll get to that. But you don't want to, just when you're getting the energies going and the magic is happening, which is out of sight, just because it's out of sight and you're not controlling it or you're not on top of it and you're not aware of it, doesn't mean it's not there. So keep going, all right? Now, there can be too much happening. There can be all of a sudden too much is happening and you don't know quite how to process it. So what we sense is that in this upswing, if a lot is happening, then you're already coming to a peak. But it means that the energy is so revved up that you've got to do your comeback and go up a bit more quickly. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But so you get up there and you keep going and then stuff will start to happen. There will be some kind of materialization. There will be an energy shift. There will be something significant that will happen. This is your feedback. When you peak, at first it looks like you get to something where, oh yeah, it's going, and then and you want it to, it kind of levels out. It starts to level out, and you, oh come on, we want it to go on up. Mm-mm. It's going to level out. What a lot of people complain about is, oh, I got on this plateau. I got on this place. Oh, this is great. I want to stay here. No, you don't stay there because you just got to the peak of the wave. Now you have to come back. And you have to, before you can go up to the next one. So you get something. Something happens. If you continue the energies, something will happen. Something will manifest. Now, once that manifests, though, it immediately creates a shift of some sort in you, internally. There's emotional or internal states that need to respond to that. if you're too busy and you try to keep pushing, you don't get that feedback. You won't get the messages. You'll be in fear or time scarcity or slave driver. Okay, so you want to acknowledge that you just want to stay as centered as you can, even if there's a lot going on, stay as centered as you can. But what happens, as soon as you peak, it begins to come back down. Now, what goes on here is very important. If you don't get this, then you blow the wave, okay? The wave, it's required to do this. What's happening here is how you take that feedback, right? Remember that step five is to process it, to understand it, to get the impact of it, to get any messages, to process whatever, anything that's in the way. But what the main purpose of that is so that you could integrate just what you did. So you've done a whole action, and now you're in reaction, which is not in this, you're responding to it to learn from it. Okay, so for example, if it seems like your manifestation is just slip sliding away, don't rush, you know, just stay aware, trust. You got to trust. That's the most important thing, is you got to really trust. You know, the foundation of your new self is to own your freedom, your love, your empowerment, and to trust. To feel safe and trust the universe is your friend, because it's your divine plan in action. Okay? So you've got to remember that. If there's too big of a change, it's like a big, big shift, like you either lose your whole game plan or something big happens or it seems to have a very different effect than you expected or something, or even too much going on, you can go into depression. And don't worry, this is not a serious issue. The depression is essentially your psyche saying, oh, wow, let me take that in and deal with and integrate it and reflect on it. Let me own it inside. Let me take this in and get my messages from it, learn about it, understand. Let me learn now. Let me get what I need to get. And, of course, a lot of people are like, well, hey, I don't want to learn right now. I want to keep going up. No, if you don't do this anchoring, if you don't do this integration, you can't go further. The reason that you're having to do the integration is because you went as far as you could with the self-image and the attitudes and all the mindset and the energies, frequencies that you had. You went as far as you could. You got your feedback, and now you have to integrate it so you can go further. Okay, so it feels like a setback. You may feel disappointed. No, it's not really appropriate necessarily to be angry, to blame, to judge, to feel shame or analyze it. Stop analyzing it. What you want to do is, if you're feeling disappointed, is to love yourself more. It's just to really nurture yourself and love yourself. And you need to trust. You need to remember. Magic happens out of sight. The integration may seem that to be able to do this step and to process what you have seen and experienced, you may be very resistant to having to face those emotions or to face those issues. You may not want to do that. You may want to analyze and detach yourself emotionally from it. Don't do that. Okay. So at this point, you've got to be able to pace yourself, get centered, and say, okay, what am I learning here? What am I discovering here? What does this whole experience so far say about me? Don't worry that it's gone, that now you're in a setback, that you have to start all over from scratch. Because if you think that way, then yes, you'll have to do that. Belief does precede your reality. So don't go there. Don't shrink back. Expand your self-image. Just keep going back to your cycle, but process it. Process first, and then you'll get clear. Okay, now I'm ready to get back in gear now that I've learned, I've tuned and tweaked, you know, and I've tweaked my process. I'm going to get back in. I'm going to cycle up again. And then you do that. And then that dip, I'll turn around and start going back up. So the more willing you are to integrate, the more willing you are to own your experience, to take the responsibility for it, to learn from it, to integrate that, the more easily you'll be able to begin again, not that you really are stopping, but to really get a better, higher resonance spiral going, okay? And as soon as you do that, then you can go back up. If you don't do that, then you keep coasting down until you get it integrated. So that then you come back up. You start up. It's you start at the step one of the process. You're redreaming, you're thinking about it, and so on, and you're moving up. Now, if you get to a place to where you get really so busy that there's so much detail and so on, you're going to have to keep expanding your self-image and keep pacing yourself. Don't think you have to take care of every little piece. All the oh my gosh, I got to rush after. Oh my, I got to do that. I got to do that. Got to yeah. Sometimes things have to back up, and you have to tell people, wait. I'm sorry. Wait just a minute. I have to get to you. I'm like short-staffed at the moment. It's just me. So. You do need to kind of get to a place to where you can stay in pace and not let the slave driver get you. Okay. Now, in your culture, the culture praises and adores workaholics. Don't be one. Because you're doing a new template that is a spiritual-based template. You're going to get your money a spiritual way. And that's by spiritual, we mean relationship with you to yourself as a divine being. That's spiritual, okay? So you want to be able to really own who you are and to be present with yourself and to love yourself and to keep going, right? So when you do that, you're initiating the next curve up. So you always are getting trusting the process, get back in, understand the universe is working for you. Everything that's going on is working for your benefit, even if you may pout and take it personally, even though you may think that other people are doing something to you, or the culture is just not accepting of you, or whatever excuse you may make. When you go to those excuses, that brings you way back down, and then you have to start over. Don't do that. Give yourself a break. Give yourself some support here and recognize that you can trust that the process is going well, even if it looks like you're going down. Don't worry about it. Get yourself moving. Get integrated. Get centered. Expand your self-image. Dream some more. Tweak it. Get the cycles going. Come on. Let's go. No push, drive yourself to do it, but just out of, in a sense, a celebration, a joy, an enthusiasm, let yourself do it. If you're going too fast for yourself, if you're pushing, you have to be very careful about this. If you're pushing, this whole process, the waves don't work. Because pushing is domination and control. You're trying to control. Do not control. You're never, ever in control. We just have to tell you. There's nothing you can control. Okay? There's no control. Don't even try to go there. Okay? So then that takes you up to the next peak. Now, if you keep going, then after a while you get momentums. If you go at your own pace, these each wave may be take 2-3 weeks, it could take 2-3 months, it could take 5 days. It all depends on you and what channel you have, what opportunities you have, how much connections you have with, how much you receive, how much is already there. As you can see, that the idea is that you keep building the waves up and up. Okay, and by that we're saying that you don't want to go from A to Z immediately. If that's the straight line idea, you need to come up to maybe C, and then drop back down to B, and then come up to F, and then drop back down to E, and then maybe you're going to go up to L, and then you see what we're saying. So it's like it's at your pace. It's dependent on you and your environment working together. You're receiving all those kinds of things at what tempo your waves are. And the waves themselves can vary. This first one could be a 6-week wave, and then the second one could be a 2-week wave, and then the third one could be a 4-week wave. You don't know. But let it be. Don't worry about it. It's not going to have a sense of order that you can feel that you can trust. See, most people look for something predictable, then they feel they can trust it, right? There's nothing predictable here. This is magic. And you're the magician, all right? And your higher self and your spiritual team are working in the unconscious mind, in the collective, to put it together for you, to present it to you. Then you receive it, and then you evaluate, and then you move onward. Do it at your own pace. Do it what feels right for you. Keep your motivation pure. That's why we keep referring to some of our seminars. For example, building your self-image. That's key. That's critical. That's core. True motivation. This keeps you in the flow and keeps you out of slave driver territory. You know, so much of what we've already done has been leading up to doing processes like these. So if you feel that something's missing, maybe you would want to go back and look at some of those processes. Also, if you want to know more about the waves and about momentum, we would also suggest that you can go and learn a bit more by going to the greaterselfprocess.com, and in there under articles you'll find on building your bottom line. And there's an article that some of the work we've been doing and the channel wrote out as an article, and it goes into a lot of detail about momentum. Now, people who go to make a really big, big momentum, the momentum, there's like the Beatles, for example. The Beatles built a momentum almost as a bar band. They played in clubs and so on like that. And they built up a following. But then they went through a kind of a drought, and then they changed drummers and blah, 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 and so forth. And then they got their recording contract, and then, whoo, they went up. So, you know, there's a resettlement somewhere when it backs down. Like you can also see it, like in a pop star, other pop stars. It's very common. You can see the waves easily there because their lives are out there for everybody to see. It's like Justin Bieber. You know, he started singing songs on YouTube, developed a whole bunch of followings, got his contract, but woo, we're going way up and so on. And then, like a lot of people, they're not used to that level of success. They don't know what to deal with it. And they come crashing down, drug issues, they act out, they do get in trouble, da-da-da-da-da. Break comes down, they have to learn, they have to figure it, get themselves back on track, and then they can go up again. You don't want to go through all that drama, dear ones. That's why we're giving you the details of this, because you do not want drama here. A lot of people think drama makes them feel alive. Something is happening. I feel a lot of drama. No, no, no. Drama is a resistance. Drama is when you get beyond your self-image that you want to have, when your reality gets out too far and you get out there and your self-image can't catch up. you're behind the curve. You don't know who you are. You get lost. And then you shrink back into a younger self and get into trouble by sabotaging things and acting like immature and so on, and getting old immature judgments and payoffs and all sorts of agendas and old patterns and narratives and stuff. You can get stuck in the past. But you see, what we're talking about here is that at that place of process, when you pass the peak of your, that first peak where you get your feed, get some feedback, that at that place, you process, but you process with the intention that you're going to integrate your learning, that you are learning, that you are understanding, and you're knowing what to tweak. Don't kick yourself around for having somehow or another missed the boat. It's way too early. There are many waves ahead. So expand your self-image so that you can imagine yourself at the higher wave. Now, a lot of the reason that people get really gaga wanting to win money in the lottery is because they really don't have a clue how to get themselves to that level that where they could actually manifest some money. So when the money comes in, they don't know what to do with it. They're lost. It's way beyond their image capacity. It's like they're adolescents and they're or children, and they're getting a 30-year-old's money, and they're five. How are they going to deal with it? They don't know, and so all their drama comes up. So you don't want that to happen for you. All right, so that's it. That's very important for you to be able to stay on top of the flow. Understand where you are at all times in the flow. Now, you may have several things going on in your life that have their own waves. And these waves may be peaking and valleying at the same time or different times. So what you want to do is that whatever it is that you're programming, whatever it is that you're going through the abundance consciousness process on, whatever you're building for your channel to bring in your income, you want to stay focused on that and identify the waves that go with that. Because you'll have waves in every area of your life. You can have waves in your relationship. You can have waves, with your education or learning stuff can throw you into different places. So you can have health waves. You can have some days you feel like crap and some days you feel great and you have to figure out what to do. Momentum. It's an art, in a way, of being able to ride the wave and to see the possibilities and to keep your self-image up. Okay, so abundance consciousness, we have noticed, manifests itself in what we would identify as five levels. Five levels of consciousness. We're going to give you some keywords on it. And the reason why we identify these five levels of money consciousness, okay, is because when the channel has been doing work with her future self, right, and she's been imagining and stretching her self-image and so on, every time you do work with your future self or you stretch your self-image, you want to go further. It's like, okay, I went to my future self, I got some of that energy, and okay, I feel more. Now I'm going to go back to my future self, who now is further along, who's greater, who's more luminous. Well, sometimes it was hard for her to imagine, okay, I'm very prosperous and abundant. Oh, that feels good. Okay, now I need to imagine I'm more prosperous and abundant. Okay, more prosperous and abundant. Okay, now I'm back to the future self. It's even more prosperous and abundant. Okay, And it's like, well, what's the difference? It's a little bit more, but it doesn't feel necessarily like there's anything there of substance. It's like, okay, I'm trying hard to imagine more, and I don't know what to imagine. And we've been finding this as a problem for some people, that, okay, so how do we get the frequency, the prosperity and abundance frequency, to expand every time you go and expand more, bigger self-image? Okay, so what is that frequency? So we've identified 5 levels. Now, there are actually 7 levels. We're not going to really detail out 6 and 7. Because generally, spiritual people are not really that excited about money for itself. Money, the obsession with money, is people who have, the major obsession with money is for ego purposes. It's to be able to feel important. It's to be able to feel empowered. You want to be free. You want to be loved. And you want to feel secure. That sounds a lot like the foundation we talk about. Your freedom to be you. The love. The empowerment. And the safety trust. But you see, if you want money to give that to you, then how are you going to really own it for yourself? Because you're finding an agent outside yourself to give you what you can give for yourself with no money at all. So what we're seeing here is this, is that at level 5, you go beyond money. Money no longer has the value, or the is no longer the yardstick for anything. But so far, in the culture which has been a driven, ego-dominating, controlling, patriarchal, hierarchical culture that people think is really what people are about, not really, it's a distortion. But this distortion is so anchored into the culture that it drives many people, just takes them away from their soul and their spirit, to drive them for the search for this freedom, empowerment, love, and safety. To drive them for money, thinking that they will get their spiritual awakening if they just can get money, right? And so as a result, their mindset, their self-image, their processes, their abundance consciousness is generally not that abundant. It's actually fraught with lots of fear and competition and anger and judgments and all sorts of things that are very unpleasant, really. So far now, there have been people who reached 5 levels, or in 6 and 7, they've used money as a yardstick of their value. The first 4 levels do that. The 5th level, there's a freedom from that. 6 and 7, of course, beyond that. But we're going to delineate that so that you can tell from your frequency what level you're on. And you can very deliberately, using specific energies, shift and move yourself energetically, vibrationally, to the next money level. That's the reason we're doing this. Okay, and so at every level, there's ways that you build up your resonance, what resonance you have, the way you spend money, the way you relate to money, what you do with your thoughts and feelings and your mind talk, how and what you do to generate and build momentum. And also, how do you manage your relationships with others? And that includes debts, that includes managing portfolios, that investments, even up to philanthropy. Okay, so these are the lens through which we're going to look at these five levels. All right, so we're going to start, first of all, money level number one. That's where your bottom line is at, really at survival level. You see, when you get the waves going, there'll be a point at which you'll realize when you're coming back down that your bottom line's there. It's not back down here anymore. It's here. And you go on up and you go on up and your bottom line is just following you up. Those places where you just never, ever have to worry about money anymore. Never, ever have to be concerned. You never need to fear anything. Okay? Your bottom line will just raise right up because it is dependent on your self-image. But for people who've done it the old way, or trying to make it up the financial ladder in the old style, level one is scarcity consciousness. It's where you live on the edge of scarcity all the time. Now you've been there. You know, it's like if you look out at the world, there's a gig economy, and right now it's we're during the whole COVID-19 house arrest period as we're doing this seminar, and so there are a lot of people in the gig economy who have nothing to do, nothing to deliver, nothing to do. They have nothing, and they don't have any backup. They don't have food for next week, right? There's erratic solo work, people who do things, but they don't have enough clients to commission them to do these things. So, you know, it's a hit or miss, and it's like from hand to mouth, they say, you know, hand to mouth. Sometimes it's a low wage worker, like the working poor, but you've got so many expenses, or you have kids, or something like that. And of course, also those horrendous tuition debts from university. In this first level is victim consciousness, time scarcity. You're always behind. You're never enough. You never have enough. Your personal narrative is dark. You've been wounded. You have shame. You feel like you're a failure. You try to ignore that, but you don't feel that you belong well to the culture. You have a sense of low value, financially anyway. And as a spiritual person, and spiritual people trying to do it the old way really feel that they're isolated. If you have some kind of community to support you in your poverty, that helps. That really helps a lot. But there's works, you work too many hours for too little money. There's struggle. This is level one. Okay. Now, the new goal, the new way to do level one is to know that you're going to survive okay. So no matter what level financially you're on now, you've been on level one probably for a while. When you're young, very often that's where you start out. No, you'll survive okay. Do you remember when, if you were young and you just had enough money from week to week and so on, somehow or another you had optimism for the future? You know, I'm young. I'm just beginning. Eventually, it'll be better. It'll be okay. Sometimes after you get hit 40 or so, you just don't have that sense of future anymore. That's you're drained of the future by your culture, right? So we want you to understand that you will survive okay. You'll be okay. You'll make it one way or another. And this too shall pass. And that's what you need to say for level one. This too shall pass. You accept what is. This is what it is. You don't judge it. You don't fight it. You don't resist it. You just keep moving forward, knowing it's going to get better. This too shall pass. We'll get there somewhere. We'll get better place. Okay. So you need to have that kind of attitude. And that attitude will help you vibrationally stay above homelessness, for example. you have to take your power, even if you're being mistreated by landlords, bosses, or whatever. You deserve better. The universe is friendly. You need to start thinking that, okay, all right, so it's going to be okay. I have some power. I can take actions. I can do things. I can figure this out. If you have difficulty buying food, you may have to only buy cheap food, okay? Even if you buy cheap food, and that's all that's available, and a lot of cheap food is just really, really bad for you. So what you do is that you put your hands around this food before you eat it, and you love the food, and you ask this food to love you. You in a sense, you meditate on it, you love it. Avoid sugar if you can, but that's really hard. That's because all the cheap food seems to have sugar or GMOs or something in it. But love it, love it. Love seems to neutralize the worst aspects of it. So at least you can do that. Even if you're working like a crazy maniac, find some time to breathe. Find a little time to relax and get your system chilled down. Get de-stressed just for a little bit. Maybe listen to a meditation center and so on. Spend only what's necessary and stop fretting about it. It is what it is. Now, when you process, you have to keep forgiving yourself. And you ask, if you have negative mind talk and fears, ask your spiritual team for help. It's really hard to process all your stuff when you're running behind like this. So ask for a lot of help. Stay connected to a resonance higher than yourself, okay? And trust. Begin to just in your mind say, okay, I'll be okay. Somewhere on some level you know that's true. So just really make it conscious, okay? This too shall pass. You will get there. And manage your debts. Before you pay bills, before you spend money even on food, get into the right state. Get into a state of gratitude for whatever it is that you can buy, whatever bills you can pay. And try not to cheat people. Ask for help. Okay. Now, the biggest challenge at level one is getting destitute, homeless, rejected on the streets, whatever. That's kind of like the biggest fear. But even if you became homeless, you could rebuild yourself. You could become an angel to other people on the street. You head to the nearest soup kitchen, you help out, you become involved, you become engaged. You act as if you have money. Not better than, but as if you have enough. Act as if you have enough. Don't go immature and spend stuff silly, nilly-willy, but act as if you have enough. So the biggest challenge is to imagine yourself having enough. All right. Level two. Now, level two is a building level. It's built up more. You have reserves. You're in the flow. You've generally got a job. There's very often like a mom and pop business, and you have clientele, or you're a consultant and for hire, and you have it. Maybe still your business may be a little spotty, but overall you don't have to worry generally about being homeless. You're a wage worker, but you're above the bottom level. You're in a higher level. You may even have some money to start saving and so forth. So the old is martyrhood, the old way of you get to a place where you're martyred. You're burdened. You still feel behind. You still feel somehow you don't quite have enough, even though you do, but you worry, well, what if a big crisis comes along and I lose it? What if I lose all this money? What if everything collapses? What if everything falls apart? Okay, so in that second level, The biggest challenge is to deal with martyrhood, to deal with the dealing with the it's not fair, dealing with the anger, dealing with the worries, all the lots of negative mind talk, old narratives about how hard it is, all these old patterns coming up from adolescence or young adulthood or whatever. This is where you probably do the most process. This is probably the most turgid, difficult one, with all the most complexity and details of old stuff that has to come up, and all the fears and the angers and all the emotional debris and the dramas and so on. All this level tends to be the level where you get hit with all that stuff, even though you're financially much better. So when you are at this level, to build your the major thing that you need, the new goal, is to be a metaphysician, to understand that you are a metaphysical being and that you can understand your reality and take responsibility for it. To be able to see that this is part of your spiritual path. Now, when you take responsibility and you see it as part of your path, you will then address all the drama and all the craziness from a perspective of loving and caring for yourself and just dealing with it. Okay, stop being angry at having all that crap. Stop resenting your parents for having screwed you up and screwed you over. And stop complaining about this person or that person who screwed you. Okay, this stage is for you to take responsibility in a loving way and to hold your resonance as that you understand your place in the universe, because this is, you're working on your path. This is part of your path. It's all going according to plan, your divine plan, and it's all going to be fine. So just let go of all that crap. Okay? So you prioritize your spending here. You budget. You can start saving. You can think about investing. You can think about financial planning. You start thinking more about the future. Even if you don't have that much to spare, you want to think about these kinds of things. But you also want to spend some money for fun. Do not spend money for some big ticket item that in your mind as a metaphysician, okay, I can get to this next financial level and afford it. Let me buy this car. Oh my gosh, those payments, that's going to put a huge stress on my monthly bill. But I'm going to manifest more money. I'm going to create more money. So I'm going to go for it. We would suggest don't do that. We've had people who buy houses, buy cars, buy expensive items that are beyond their financial level. And then they are under tremendous pressure and stress to make more money. Don't do that to yourself. That's cruel, actually. That's cruel. And that's an ego issue, right? The ego issue. I want this big, beautiful, juicy thing. I want to live above my means. Maybe I'll be able to manifest it. Yes, I'll meditate. I'll do all of this cause. I'll get this effect. I'll get it. Yes. And so there's entitlement, earning, slave driver, and you've blown it. Just doesn't work that way. Don't we recommend not doing that? So what you want to do is mainly release martyrhood. And here's some questions for you. Are you doing better or worse than your parents? What's your yardstick for success? Let that yardstick go. Let whatever the yardstick that your parents provided for you go. The orientation to success is within you. So just let all the external interpretations of your wealth level go. It's not up to anyone else or for you to imagine what other people think of you to determine how wealthy you are or how well you're doing. It's up to you. It's your state of being. This is where you also can work really great magic. You can do tithing. You can have an altar and do rituals. You can do the green candle ritual, which is on the website. That's marvelous for building clientele. It's fabulous for selling house or buying a house or whatever. So we highly recommend that. You can do all sorts of little metaphysical juicy things like the story about Jim Carrey, you know, where he put a $1 million check addressed to himself in his wallet. He just put it in there to hold the image of that he can spend $1 million. Okay? And he held it in his wallet, and a year later he made enough money to where he had that in his accounts, in his bank, that he could spend $1 million. And that held the resonance for him. He knew that he had $1 million in his wallet. Right? So whatever you want to use, it could be a little metaphysical trick, a little gimmick, whatever you need, let yourself figure something out to get yourself into the mood of expectation and knowing that more abundance and prosperity is on your way. You can use the receiving room. We've talked about that. And you can work more with receiving every day from your team, receiving love and energy, and hold the resonance of support and trust with your universe, okay? Gratitude. Lots of gratitude. And here's this level's where you can start working with your future self. This level's where you do the most work, really. Because this is where you have to shift out of the old template into the new one. And most people that we talk to metaphysically, you know, in our private sessions and so on, most of them are somewhere tangling in this and trying to move out of this to level three. So give yourself a plan that gives you some leeway to spend for fun. Being mature, responsible, not just throwing money away. Don't gamble, okay? But really just something that's really fun for you. And most stuff that's fun, you can do without much money at all. So just make sure you have a little bit more fun. And don't let all those debts burden you. Even if you have loads and loads of debts, in your mind, just take them and put them in a room and give them to your higher self to help you with. Okay, give them to your spiritual team so that you don't feel burdened as you go about your daily life. Okay. So the biggest challenge in this level two, is losing money. Losing money by you trust somebody, you do some gambling fever, or the stock market goes down and your parents have a trust for you or something like that. All of a sudden, your financial capacity, your money, you lose a whole bunch of money. If you're not rich, if you're at this level emotionally, you may not have much money, and then you suddenly lose $800. It means something. It hurts. So here's where you can get screwed up emotionally with somebody who screws you. You know, a con man can screw you out of quite a bit of money if they're really good. And you need to forgive yourself. You need to love yourself and value yourself and give your shame back, because sometimes you feel ashamed that you trusted somebody. So this level two is where you have to recognize that you've got to build trust, and you've got to build trust through your understanding. And so we said understanding. You will be okay, remember? Everything's going according to plan. This also would include, are you going to take them to court? Ooh. For the most part, we don't recommend it. Maybe a small claims court or something, but don't put a lot of energy and emotional energy and rage and anger and righteous indignation into your money, into the lost money. Most of the time, it's a lot of waiting over years. Sometimes court cases can go on and on and on and on. So if you're thinking about initiating one, know that whoever it is you're suing has a distinct advantage, and they can delay, 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 delay. Okay? Now, think of this maybe as your tuition, your educational tuition about learning how to trust somebody. When the channel and Daniel were quite a bit younger, they had someone steal them, rob them, just rob them blind, and so on. And they were just absolutely frustrated and freaked out about it. And they had a private session with Lazarus. Probably most of you know about Lazarus. And Lazarus said, well, consider this, that you make an investment. That they took your money and it's in a metaphysical bank somewhere. That you made an investment and somewhere in the future it's going to come back to you with some interest. Oh, that took a lot of the charge off of it, okay? So we've thought that that was very clever. So we've suggested that ever since. So if somebody rips you off, maybe you might want to think of it that way. And also to think it's your tuition for learning who to trust and how to recognize the signs that you're getting conned. And also, of course, for you to learn how to avoid gambling fever, because generally that gets in there too. Okay. So that is essentially, so forgiving yourself and claiming your magicianship. See, the martyr is always like feeling unappreciated, burdened, too many problems, etc., etc., and noble suffering kind of thing. And so when you let go of the martyr, you can step into your magician self. Okay, so the magician is empowered. The magician is free. The magician, okay, is filled with light. Okay, has a capacity to create. So the way to move through the second one is to claim your magicianship, not martyr magic, but light magic, your magician self, because you understand and you know your place. You know this is your path. You know you're on your path. You're, quote unquote, learning your lessons or whatever it is, and you can approach it with a sense of not taking it that all your failures or all the problems that you may have in relationships or whatever are because somehow or another something's wrong with you. Get rid of the shame. This is the big process. So clearing that, lifting beyond shame, you get to level three. And level three, we call this the golden mean, because this is a place to where you're comfortable. You live comfortably, you're wealthy enough. Maybe you don't live luxuriously, but you're comfortable. The old school, this is a young adult mentality. That if you just drive enough and you're competitive enough and you strive enough and achieve enough, you know, everything is going to be okay. And you're dreaming and imagining for stuff, and there's still too much form there and not enough function. Still too much images of goodies, material goodies you want, and not enough of your, not of the function of the state of grace that you want to be in. There's still too much worrying and afraid of risks. There's still fear of loss too much. Now, the new goal here is to give and receive freely, being in the flow, knowing that it is abundance, knowing that there's balance. You can have equanimity with ups and downs, okay? The work level generally is a highly paid consultant or a member of a firm, prosperous partnerships. You maybe have a company and you employ several people. You're up, moving up the ranks in some corporate or government level. You're have a leadership of a group, or you're expanding your business, your entrepreneurship. Okay. At this point, for your new goal, giving, receiving, being in the flow is taking you to a place to where there's a lot less work to process. There's not so much emotional stuff to do. This is where you have the opportunity to creating a new narrative, a new story of you, where magic is natural and normal for you. This is where you can give money to something that you value. Okay? This is where you can maintain positive mind talk and be present and process stuff as it comes up and be done with it. You are the authority. Own it. Even if you're an employee of a company, own the company in your mind. You are the authority. You are the owner. Hold a vision. Grow up. Be accountable, responsible. Okay, when you come to that level, then you're able to be, when you're in your authority, giving and receiving, you are in a flow. This, your bottom line is such, you're never going to go down. You're not going to go down into dangerous territory. You're not going to go down into poverty anywhere unless you do some big ego something or other and sabotage yourself. So here you work with momentum and expectation. You stay connected to your team. Be a good leader. Be a good partner. Stop competing so much. It's all cooperation now. It's giving and receiving freely. You don't need to feel jealousy and envy. You don't need to compete and try to outdo anybody or one-up anyone. Your biggest challenge is trusting yourself and your judgment to make big financial decisions, you know, like investments, house, you know, all sorts of big investments, college tuition for your kids or whatever. This is perhaps the biggest place in the old way of doing it, where if you get gambling fever, you can wipe yourself out. Really wipe yourself out. So this is a higher level of partnerships and trust and really being aware and so on. But this is where you learn how to be intuitive and sense the greater prosperity and abundance that is present for you. That you don't have to worry about finding it. The money's going to last. You're going to handle it. Reduce all the charge on money. Take all the charge out of money so that you can continue to be supported. And trust is just going to continue. It's just going to continue on and on. Now, for most people, this is the end. If you get there, you think, wow, I've made it. Especially as a spiritual person, because as spiritual people, you just don't quite have the drive most of the time to make it to billionaire or something like that. But if you can be really comfortable and have fun, you got it. You got it. So if you dream and imagine yourself into abundance consciousness, you want to dream and imagine yourself at levels beyond which you're going to achieve. And so for that reason, we're going to go to level 4 now. Level 4, when you hold that highest vision, knowing that reality works with cooperation and not competition, there's a sense of lift that happens, a sense of freedom, a sense of lightness. And then you can tap into the positive side of level 4. Now, the old side, the darker side of level 4, it's people who have wealthy portfolio, but this is the dominator winner. This is the person, I've made it. And I've made it, and I'm exclusive, and living with luxury. Generally tend to be more conservative, want to hold on to money, has a more patriarchal perspective in the old style, and lots of ego because you've been validated. Look, I've got money, I've been validated, okay? I got it. And you're right, you've been validated. You've got the money that society says, okay, you're valuable, here it is. And so now some people think they can just kind of, okay, I'm the Lord here. I can just really do whatever I want. But You can still sabotage yourself with your ego, but generally it won't be with money. It'll be with relationship or health. You know, something will happen there if you're going to sabotage yourself. The bottom line generally doesn't come down. Unless you do crazy, immature stuff. Like there are people who make rags to riches, to rags again. You know, so some people like the drama. But anyway, the new goal, the new level four, the one that you want to envision, is the magician. Now, this is the magician empowered in their reality and seeing themselves as the reality creator and seeing their universe working for their benefit in every detail, very fully responsible for their reality and living a magical life. And now many of you already have gotten to that point, but it's not permanent. It's like you get there and then you drop back. You get there and then you drop back. Now, in the old school, the work level of this is generally a banker or successful entrepreneur, corporate executive, or you have old inherited wealth, or you've got a multinational influence or something. Okay. But you don't need to have all that to have that frequency, to have that positive attitude with high gratitude, celebration, and your narrative as your self-image as this magical being, as a reality creator. You create the narrative that this is what's natural and normal for you, that it all just flows with magic, and you expectate. No matter what happens. Now, here's where you have more fun. You put money into maybe charities. You put money into more education, have more fun. Or you create new vehicles of opportunity for yourself and others. You can get more creative. So think about creating new vehicles, creating new opportunities. Generating them from you rather than finding them in the world, right? Generating opportunities. Here's where your mind talk is very positive and you held a vision for yourself and for your world and you have compassion for all. You're a Buddha. You're like at that love and compassion for all. We've talked about that before. This is big, okay? So you have your good fortune is natural and normal and you've got no problems, no financial problems at all. So celebrate, okay? So this is a place of incredible freedom. Now, you may still have some debts. You may have some debts because you're borrowing to start a business or yet a new business or whatever. But here's where you manage portfolios, where you find your financial team, people who you trust to work with, and you maintain good relationships with them. And you also are generous. Here's where you're generous. This is that you got in level three. You got this beginning of that generosity, the giving and receiving, getting into the flow. Now, this now is that you're generous and you're holding this vision for the world now, not just your life, but for the world of cooperation, the world for generosity. So it's a different scale, perhaps, you might say. The greatest challenge, of course, then in this case, is a level of vision. How big a vision can you hold? What dream can you do? Do you continue to focus on achievement or family issues? And can you let go and not be stingy with money? Can you trust that the money's going to have totally fine money because this is your flow? This is a way, it's just the way it's going to be, right? Can you be inclusive rather than exclusive? A lot, because in the old school, this is where you have your mansion and your acreage away from everything, and you have all the guards and the gates and da-da-da-da, so that you're not exposed to the hoi polloi. Right? So you want to feel inclusive even if you live in a mansion. Allow yourself to feel connected and stay connected to the world. because your greatest emotional challenge is, who are you now? You fulfilled all the dreams. You've got it all done. And you can create more dreams that are even more luminous. You've given to your family. You've cleared all your debts. You don't have any financial problems. Who are you now? Sometimes if you get your dream and you don't dream further, then you have a snapback. So these snapbacks can be extreme too. You don't want a snapback. An extreme snapback is an example of as a young black guy in the ghetto wanted to be a basketball star, and he was signed on to, I think, Boston Celtics or whatever. And so he was signed on. He went out to celebrate that weekend, and he died in a drug overdose or something. So he got what he wanted. He died. And we even had a dear friend who was an inventor, and he always wanted his lab, and he wanted everything, and he wanted to put together his formula and so on. He wanted, and he was always struggling not to have his lab and everything. And a couple came along and fell in love with his work and him, and gave him a house and a lab, and he'd had it only a few weeks, maybe, we don't know. And he was found in his house just sitting in his chair just smiling. You know, he got it. That was it. Yeah, he was out of here. He finished. So you don't want to finish. You know, so you don't want to then get cancer or something. You don't want to have a tragedy. You want to keep dreaming. You got to dream a bigger vision. And that's the challenge here. Okay, level 5. In the old level, this is the tycoon. This is a guy who is generally seen as a guy, you know, the old pictures of the guy with the mustache and the top hat and the tailcoat and so on, that's always used to be the super rich tycoon guy, you know, and he's just into himself, okay? It's a very selfish place to be, and he liked controlling and dominating everybody and everybody bowing down before him and treating him with tremendous respect and so on like that. It's really the old way, is an ego position. Now, at level 5, though, even in the old school, there are some that start to move beyond money. They begin to live their life without money even being in there, without a thought to money. They're just living their lives doing what they want to do, right? So the new goal for this level for you to tune into is the benefactor, the visionary, the dreamer for all, the visionary, the benefactor, coming not from ego, but from love and compassion. You're divine, and you know, and you can know it at this level. Your disbursements are really for whatever it is that works for you, but also to make positive world changes. And this level, there is so much creative activity, creative imagination on a grand scale. See, in the old school, the kind of like the Bill Gates school, okay, let's vaccinate everybody. See, now there's a vision on a grand scale, but is it of real benefit? Yeah, to him, he would make an obscene amount of money on it, as if he needs any more money. And in a sense, it will validate his theory that vaccines are the solution to everything. Well, we don't think that's a very good idea at all. We think it's bordering on evil, and a lot of the old style tycoons do make choices that are really not nice. their selfish choices, their idea of how the world should be, their idea of who should be here and who should be allowed to live and who should not, all that kind of thing, and really being able to control and dominate and so on. You want to just recognize that when you get here vibrationally, okay, you can give magic to the world. You can give a magic dream of love, of cooperation to the world. And you can act with love and responsibility in the sense that even if you don't have that amount of money, and in the obvious external level, you can influence people and get people to do stuff that they otherwise wouldn't do, or you can hire anybody to do anything you want them to do, and they will trash all their morals and so on to do whatever it is you want them to do. Instead of going there, you basically can connect with your egregor and beam out your dream for the planet and know that there are a whole bunch of other people doing that too. You came with a whole group of spiritual beings to make a difference on the planet. And even if you don't think that you're seeing it happen on the external realm, even if you don't see that it's making an impact in the physical actions of the world, do not be dissuaded, because the unseen magic happens in the unseen, in the gap. We're in the gap right now. This is the time to do the magic. This is the time to cycle the new dream, the new vision. Because this can then precipitate response in the physical. And just using this whole Bill Gates as an example, that's a precipitation. You have a dream that you want the world to be happy. You want everyone to be healthy and you want everyone to be happy. Well, this is Bill Gates' version. This is showing you, oh my gosh, no, I don't want it through some kind of control. I don't want it through some brave new world kind of, domination. No, you want it through people rising up and being true to themselves and this incredible creativity that humans have, the imagination that they have, to dream their own dreams and to manifest them. That's what you want. You want them to be happy that way. So in this particular level, you dream for the planet. You've dreamed for yourself. Level 4, you got your own level. Level 5, you start dreaming on the larger scale. And you dream with the Society of Dreamers. The Society of Dreamers, those who have come, like yourself, to dream the big dream. It's kind of wrapping up the whole cycles of life and death and ascending. That whole concept, the ascension concept, it has some funny tweaks to it. But overall, on a vibrational level, you are. This is the opportunity to ascend. And this is the opportunity to give light into the world so that people wake up and take back their power, that they can move up these levels of vibration as well. And so when you get to a level like this, the biggest challenge is your ego. The ego doesn't like you to go beyond money. The ego has nothing to control you with, nothing to drive you with, nothing to motivate you with when you no longer are motivated for money or approval or prestige or anything like that. Money, the ego doesn't like that because it's been on your back now for who knows how long, trying to get you to be a good person. That's a good girl training. Or to be wealthy. That's the man code training. So the ego is going to do its damnedest to hold you back. It wants you to see yourself as God. It wants you to see yourself as infallible. So like Bill Gates' dream for everybody to be vaccinated, while it appears to all the brainwashed mainstream press who believes that, oh, anything that comes from medical science must be good for us. I will see that, oh man, that's a beautiful big dream. But you see, it's an ego dream. It's his ego dream. I'm going to save the world. I'm the one saving the world. You see, so you want to stay out of that. Your ego is not going to get involved with it. You have to say no, shh, shh, no, no, to ego. The sabotage of your ego at this point may not be in money either. It'll be in health, possibly, or relationships. And what do you do when you get to this level? You need to know how to listen to others and stay connected. You need to see what peers you have, what groups you belong to, what is your identity, who are you? Now, we've talked about the five levels. And do you see where you are at right now? Do you see what vibration you tend to be hanging at as your basic one, as your ongoing one? Do you see that? What assumptions have you made about people at these higher levels? Can you see how you could hold that positive resonance at that higher level yourself? And what does it feel like to have a billionaire's mindset? What would it feel like to have a billionaire's financial bottom line? What would that all feel like? If you tune in to these frequencies we're talking about, you can get the feeling of being there. And if you can get the feeling of being there, you can pull yourself in that direction, and when your channels are open, you can receive money, you can receive love, you can receive whatever it is you want to receive through your channels. You don't have to receive money per se. You can receive something else of value. But you can dream at this high level. Now we have one more part to go. And we want to talk about the egregor, and we want to talk about levels 6 and 7 as well. There in your culture, the way you organize your culture is through institutions. You've got religion, you've got education, you've got government, and within the government, various departments, and the various, we've got various industries, you've got an industry like medicine, like standard corporate medicine. You've got corporations, the corporate culture, okay? You've got military, you've got the entertainment industry, you've got banks, you know, and on an international level, you've got some international money organizations like the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, and then also the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. That's a long one. The UNCTAD. Okay. So they encourage these organizations, these institutions, religion, institution, yes. The family is an institution. There's a whole idea of structure. Okay, and what these all do, the common thread of an institution is that it continues a certain culture to maintain social order. Okay, social order is seen as protecting people from chaos. If you have order, you won't have chaos. You'll feel peaceful. You'll be okay. But of course, at the same time, you have to follow the rules. There's cultural ideals, values, and beliefs that all must share. They do offer social identity. They offer a sense of belonging to a certain extent. And the socialization trainings are supported, the gender trainings, and any kind of social dynamic trainings. They encourage only certain ways of thinking. And they also have patriotism or loyalty to the organization, if not to the nation as well. So, and the main function of the this, that's a function, and the purpose of it is to perpetuate themselves, is to self-perpetuate. So anything that challenges an institution is seen as a threat. People who don't belong in there, who don't want to ascribe to those beliefs, are relegated to the fringe. They're outsiders. Okay? And institutions do not want to ever change. They just want to keep going. They want to have more adherents, more people belonging to them, following them, obeying them. Okay? Now, the tops of these institutions, some of these had a founder who died or whatever, like Christianity as an institution, religion, you know, the founders are gone. But the institution, the church remains, you know, and continuously getting new adherents, converting more people, getting more people to believe, to do this, to put their money into the box to give more money, and the money rises up to the top. Most institutions, the money rises up to the top. So at the top, you generally have all those people that are the influencers with money. There are the controllers. There are the leaders. You have the top televangelists. You have the top. They have the president of the United States, and the leaders of all the countries, the presidents, and all that. They've got the. And in the family, it's a patriarchal thing. Institutions are all patriarchal, hierarchical. So in the family, it's the father, and then there's the mother, and then there's the children. Okay. So you've got order, hierarchy, ranking. Like, especially in the military, you have to know what your rank is. Okay, as to know what decisions you can make, what choices you can make. And if you're at a higher rank than someone else, you can tell them what to do, essentially. And they've got to go, yes, sir. So these are the patriarchs at the top. These are the ones that sustain the patriarchy. You're at a time in cultural revolution and evolution in which the limitations of the patriarchy are becoming more and more apparent. And the healing of the whole issue around money and prosperity and abundance for everyone becomes more important and indeed necessary. Now, at the top, at levels 6 and 7, are the elite. Now we're not going to talk about the Illuminati or the Bilderbergers or the Rothschilds. But there's a whole story about the elite. These are people who are beyond money. But at the same time, they're at the top of the ladder. They're the patriarchs, even though there may be a woman or two here and there and there. But they're the patriarchs. They hold the resonance of control and domination, and they hold the patriarchy in place. Now, when we talk about the patriarchy, we're not blaming men, okay? It's a code that has come down through the centuries. Men are born into it, abused by it, and most men kowtow to it, because if you follow the institution, it will reward you. The institutions, with all the energies of the people giving from the bottom up to the top, okay, all this energy, there's an incredible amount of consciousness and energy that accrues to the very top. The power, the light, the freedom, the empowerment. There's a devotion, there's love, there's trust, there's obedience to that. This energy at the top that goes up to the elite is then given to the egregor. All these people expressing fealty to an institution, that energy, their energy, goes all the way up to the egregor. Now, we've had you relate to the egregor by getting into your greater light self and letting the egregor be pleased that you're up at that level, that you can function independently of an institution, that you can step into a sense of personal power that's kind of intriguing. The egregor is not against individuals taking their power. What the egregor doesn't like is when individuals who are in their power threaten the institutional order, because for the egregor, that threatens their energy, their food supply, so to speak. Now, the egregor is the culmination of all of these institutions and the beliefs and the structure of human society, in a sense, personified, condensed into a focus, into an energy, into a thought form. We've gone in more detail in these in our first seminar. But if you were to withdraw the patriarchy out of it, what's egregor going to feed on? Okay, so if you resist the patriarchy, or you attack the patriarchy, or you point it out, or you fight it, the egregor, the whole collective, is going to fight you. The way to work with it is to speak in the language of the institution. Speak in its language, and then it will listen. Work your way into it and share. If you get enough people who say, yeah, that makes sense, that makes a subgroup in that institution, in that consensus of that institution, and it can become a movement. It can make the institution shift. Like, for example, a really good example of this is the Republican Party. Republican Party has been known for its conservative values for decades, especially starting in the 1980 with Ronald Reagan and all the neoliberal policies that came in at that time. And yet there's always been a kind of an extreme right-wing contingent on the borders of it. And that's what you know in the mainstream press is all the conspiracy theorists and so on and so on. But there's the libertarians, and there's a lot of people who are wanting sovereignty and don't want to pay any taxes, and they don't think they should, and they have all sorts of ideals that they feel are more important. They have a whole philosophy that they think is more important. And so they've been a very strong subgroup for decades. They've built through think tanks and through alternative media, they've built up a whole bunch of people in this mindset within the Republican Party. When Obama came into office, they mobilized. That was it. Okay, we can't have Obama. So they went, they were very upset about that. And so they formed the Tea Party, named after some rebellious colonists back in the 1700s. And so they showed themselves as the rebellious face of the Republican Party. And at first there was a lot of pushback. It was like, no, this is too extreme. No, no, I want to maintain my decorum. I want to, whatever. Over a period of within 8 years, they were able to effectively take over the Republican Party enough to move the whole Republican Party to the right. They found a candidate that could express their points of view, who they got to be president, in Donald Trump. This is huge shift. This is an example of an institution being shifted by a movement within it. Now, you're seeing something similar over here on the Democrat side. You see the progressives, that when Trump got in there, they said, oh my gosh, well, we're going to use the Tea Party playbook and we're going to mobilize here. And so they were able to mobilize so that they could take back the House in within 2 years. So, however, the interesting thing here is that the progressives can't take over the Democratic Party because they don't have the money. See, the Tea Party took over the Republican Party because the big money shifted and supported them. At first they didn't, but then they did. Now, the Democrats have this progressive, the more extreme left wing, wanting to come in. And yes, it's moved some of it over, but it's freaked out so much of the Democratic Party because the languaging that they use, the Democratic Party mainstream did not feel and still does not feel safe with them. Now, initially, the Tea Party made the mainstream Republican Party not feel safe, but they did it, okay? It remains to be seen whether the progressives are going to be able to continue their movement since their candidate did not make it. So, but you're seeing what's happening within the institution. Right now you're seeing the Democrats fought. The centrists prevailed. What's the next chapter? What's going to happen? A third party? Or Is it going to shift the Democratic Party to the left? Institutions are interesting to watch. But the energy that seems to dominate in the old guard is money. And frankly, the progressives don't, they're young, they don't tend to have that much money. But time. There. They may be on that curve, on their wave up. Yeah, maybe there's a disappointment now. Okay, they have to reintegrate and get themselves together. And now they're going to have to work their way up on another wave. What we want you to think about is this. Up there at the top, this elite, they're beyond money. You can't touch them with money. You can't reach them with money. There's no way to get through to them. There's no way to shift them. Except for one thing. And that is love. And you, as spiritual beings, are here to bring love. To bring a vision of love, first to yourself, then to the world. To live magic just first for yourself and then bring it to the world. Even if you never see the physical impact of this, even in your lifetime, it's the fact that you did it and that you're doing it and that you're dreaming. So don't give up your dreaming. Don't give it up. But let's send love up there, shall we? Let's send love up to those psychopaths who really, they're pretty cold. They pretty have no interest in anybody else. Everybody else is beneath them. They live in their own little world. What they do sometimes can appear quite evil. They don't think they're evil. And they have tremendous amount of metaphysical force working for them, actually. You may think, oh gosh, they're dark. You know, they've got a lot of white light. They got a lot of good karma going on up there. But they don't have the love to get to the next step. That's where you come in. So what we're going to do, since you can't fight them, you can't resist them, you can't teach them, you can't do anything with them, we're going to create an energetic movement within the institution of money, or whatever institution is most pronounced or the most important for your channel to function in. All right, so if your channel is in the entertainment industry, then you want to move energy through the entertainment industry. That's where you want to connect. But overall, it will be the whole money system so that you can get up there, get beyond money, and bring the love. That's the only way to pierce that ceiling, that glass ceiling, that it's a vibrational protection they've got up there that people can't get up there. People can't do anything with them. People can't throw them in jail. Nothing can happen to them. They cannot crash the monetary system. These people created it. The only way to get through is through love. And then from that, there will be a new future for money. Now, what's a future of money? We do not see that money as a... money's going to disappear. Money is needed. It's a convenience. It's got to... So you've got to have some way to do exchanges. You can't just barter with goods like you could in a small town where everybody worked was self-sufficient. You had the farmers coming in and you had the merchants and you could exchange a chicken for this or that, whatever. You don't have that. You do need some kind of currency. But you want that currency to not be the end-all of everything. You don't want a cashless society, because if you're yearning to have a cashless society, if you're yearning for a giving and receiving society and so on, and you're wanting to go outside of money and not work with money, you're actually coming from a scarcity consciousness place. It takes a tremendous amount of focus and dedication to live your life without money in a world that all everybody else has money and deals with money. Yes, you can be free of it, but you pay a price. You pay a price of exclusion. We don't want that for you. But we do think, okay, what if money was not the ultimate arbiter of value? What if everyone had integrity and compassion and could be trusted? What if egos didn't need to compete? What if there was no hierarchy anymore? What if government was just of service rather than domination? What if there were no wars? What if people didn't manipulate and harm each other and steal? Now, if you get into an imagination of that, you're tapping into what was the original idea of communism. But we want to point out, communism could not work. It was a great idea, but it couldn't work. Because for it to work, the patriarchy would have had to go. Dictators and dominators would have to not exist. Women would have had to be equal culturally with men. White-skinned people and brown-skinned people would be considered equal. There would have to be a value of oneness, a value of unity higher than the tribal fighting each other, the other, separation and division, control, domination, competition. Okay. Where we are going in evolution is to a place to where the patriarchy can be dissolved, the domination dark part of it, and where the masculine energy will can move from the dark masculine into the light masculine, and where the dark feminine, all the shame and the drama and the pain, emotional pain and the self-flagellation of people will go, loving and valuing themselves, the light feminine, working together, mixing and matching with the light masculine to create a society that is horizontal, not in ranks, vertical ranks, dominated at the top. It'll be spread out. Equality. And it will be individuals in this equality. Individuals within the group, not a hive mind. See, that comes with the institutions being hierarchical. The hive mind is everybody's got to think the same thing. Everybody's got to look the same, got to wear their uniform. Military, everybody's got to wear a uniform. Let's all be the same. But then you have ranks, and then you show up at the bars. And the all of that, just let it go. Imagine in your mind, just imagine it gone. Now, as we're saying, all of this whole greed and domination and patriarchal dark masculine stuff, and the dark feminine stuff, it's all been programmed into you over centuries. And so it's genetic in your DNA. So it may feel intrinsic and normal. That's the trap. You grow up, it's so normal to be dark masculine, dark feminine. That's just what's expected of you. But what if the young people growing up, the young people coming up, are seeing their way to a horizontal society? That's what Occupy was about. A lot of the progressives are graduates of Occupy. They're bringing a new vision. How is it going to turn out? You decide. You decide. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a meditation. We're going to take you through the five levels. We're going to take you to the patriarchs. We're going to take you to the elite. And there, you're going to dream for the world. You're going to anchor yourself in at least fifth level money, abundance, consciousness, to anchor, an anchor that can pull you up, can pull you up there. All right? We're so excited about the chance to do this. This is going to be so much fun. And your life can become so much more magical. So we're going to take a break now of 10 minutes. And when we come back, we will do questions and answers. And then we will also do the meditation. So closing for now. Farewell.